He was. Praise the Lord for that. Give him the wave. Amen. Grab your Bibles if you would and go to Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter 14. Miss Laura, I appreciate that testimony you gave about watching the spiritual growth of these young people. And every time we have a graduation, whether it's kindergarten or whether it's a 12th grade graduation here at the church, we always strive to relate some messages that gear towards our Christian education, that gear towards the ultimate goal of our school. Listen, our school is not just here as a reform school. Cornerstone Baptist Academy was not created to be a reform school from public school. Cornerstone Baptist Academy was not created to be an alternative choice just because a kid didn't make it in a public school. All right. Cornerstone Baptist Academy was established with the heart and with the purpose of training young people for Christ. That's our goal. We're going to give them a good general education while we're at it, but we're going to train them in the things of God. We're going to train them in the doctrines of Christ. We're going to teach them the Word of God. And especially when they get into high school, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, every one of their credits are very heavily centered on the Word of God. And we're going to make sure that they get the Word of God. Every elective that they take is going to be geared towards the Word of God. When they've got choice electives, it's going to be a Bible choice. And so anything more than 23 credits, if they want to take additional courses and things like that, they have an opportunity to be able to do that, but we fill up their credits and their electives with things about the Word of God, because we want to train young people that are rooted and grounded in Scripture. And we start from the very, very beginning. Ms. Rose taught through pre-K and kindergarten. My wife taught kindergarten, of course, this year. But even from pre-K, we start teaching and training these young people in the Word of God. They memorize Scripture, they memorize verses even before they can read. And our goal is to train the next generation for the glory of God. And so I'm going to preach you a message tonight on secrets to be used by God. The secret of being used by God. We want to be used by God. We got a lot of young people that have a desire right now to be used by God. We got several young folks that are in our Christian school currently praying about Bible college. And as they get a little bit older, they're going to begin to be opened up and more available to those options there. And we're definitely praying about what God would have us to do. But listen, you don't have to just be a preacher. You don't have to just be a Christian school teacher. You don't have to just be a deacon or someone who is a certified theologian in order to be able to serve God. Everybody in this room can serve God. All right? And we all have a place where we can serve God, and that is in our local church tonight, where we're at. And God has a ministry for every one of us. You don't have to necessarily have all the different initials behind your name to have all the different degrees as long as the sleeve of your arm. You just simply have to have a spirit that is willing to be used by God. And we want to train young people that have a solid core foundation. Even if God does not call these young men to preach, we want them to be solid, faithful pillars in the church that they serve in for the rest of their lives. Even if God doesn't call these young ladies to be Christian school teachers or to be a church secretary or to serve in these different capacities, a pastor wife or a missionary's wife or whatever the case may be, we want them to serve in their church as a pillar that's rooted and grounded in the things of God. And we want to train this next generation to be able to do those very things, because that's the ultimate goal, is to keep pumping out young people that have a desire to live for the Lord. Now, if you don't have that desire for your children, our school's not for you. It's just that simple. And our school's not for everybody. But it is for those who have a desire to raise their young people for Christ. And we want to help in that area. The school does not take the place of the home. The Bible says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Okay? The church, the home, and the school. We all work together. Okay? The church doesn't take place of the home. The school doesn't take place of the home. The school doesn't take place of the church. Okay? None of that. And so we are all working together for the glory of God and for the raising of these young people for Christ. Acts chapter 14, verse number 27. Stand with me if you're there. Acts chapter 14, verse number 27. We're going to preach fast if you can listen fast, because I got a lot of ground to cover. Acts chapter 14, verse number 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Here Paul and Barnabas had gone on their missionary journey. This is their first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter number 14. Here at the end of Acts chapter 14, they come back to the church at Antioch. They come back to the church that had sent them out to do the work of God. And the Bible says they rehearsed all that God had done with them. They rehearsed all that God had done through them. And so they give us a little bit of a foresight, a little bit of an intuition or of an insight of what God did with them and how God used them. Now, if they can show us here in these couple of chapters how God used them, we can take these truths and then apply them to our lives and see how we too can also be used by God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Use us, guide us, direct us, teach us now from your Word. Help us, Lord, whether it's a young person in this room, whether it's an adult, anyone that claims to be a child of God ought to have a desire to be used by you. And this message is not just for the kids in our Christian school. It is not just for the parents of the kids in our Christian school. This message is for everyone. And Lord, I have a desire now more than ever before to be used by you. As I've grown in the Lord, that desire has done nothing but grow in my life. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each and every one of us to have that desire, that fire burning deep inside of us, to want to honor and glorify you with our lives, to be used by you. Bless us, Lord. Use us. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. We ask you, Saints, your name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Again, Paul's first missionary journey is detailed here in these two chapters. When they get back to Antioch, read verse number 27 again with me. Look at verse 26, actually. It says, "And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." So they had gotten busy doing what God told them to do. They fulfilled the work that God had called them to. And in verse 27, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together." So they not only came back to Antioch, but they came back to Antioch and told everybody, "Hey, we're back in town. Let's tell you what God did in our lives." And this, the Bible says, and they rehearsed all that God had done with them. Wouldn't you have liked to be in that service? Now listen, we have services like that when we have missionaries that come in and they rehearse to us all that God is doing currently on the mission field. We have them, they show their slides, they show their video. Listen, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't have slides and they didn't have videos. They didn't have televisions, so they had to give them all the vivid pictures of their mind and paint this imagery and detail what God had done. Here we can sit down and we can listen to a missionary and then we can watch a video for 8 minutes and be like, "Wow, look at what God's doing." Here, Paul had to describe everything in vivid detail of what God was doing in their midst. And because of that, we now see some steps that were taken in order to be used by God. Now listen, there is nothing in this Christian life that is greater than partnering with God and allowing God to use us in this life. No greater calling in the Christian life than simply to be used by God. That ought to be our prayer. That ought to be our desire. That ought to be everything that us as a child of God, that we want to be used by God. Used by God. Now, how can we then prepare for God to use us? Go back to chapter 13, verse number 2. There's seven aspects we're going to go through. I'll go through them quickly. How can we prepare for God to use us? How can we, as young people, those of you that are young people in here, how can you prepare for God to use you, both now and in the future, young adults and young couples that have young children? How can you prepare for God to use you to raise the children that you have? And now older folks that have already got children that are grown and moved out of the house, how can you continue to prepare to allow God to use you in your life? Listen, this message is for everybody. It doesn't matter who we are. Nobody is exempt from the opportunity for God to be able to use them. If God can give Abraham at 100 years old and Sarah at 90 years old a baby, and God can use the aged ones to be able to do something great for him, God can use anybody. God can use anybody. I saw Brother Throw look at Miss Throw. Amen. How can we prepare for God to use us? Go to verse number 1, chapter 13, verse 1. We're not going to read through all the chapters. I promise you, we will not read both chapters, okay? But we're going to look at a lot of verses. It says, now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So here, Paul is known as Saul at this time. Now we know that they were there, they were serving in the church. These were men that were busy. The Bible says they were prophets and they were teachers. So they were busy working in the church. They were busy doing the work of God. Some of them were preaching in the church. They were preaching out as evangelists. Some of them were teaching maybe a Sunday school class and allowing God to use them in the lives of many others. The Bible says in verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. First and foremost, if we are going to prepare for God to use us, number one, we must be willing to be faithfully serving God. We must be willing to be faithfully serving God. When did God call them? The Bible says in verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord, as they were busy doing the work of God, as they were busy faithfully serving in the church, as they were busy teaching a Sunday school class, as they were busy taking up an offering, as they were busy preaching out on different nights, as they were busy soul winning, as they were busy getting active in the things of the church. When they were busy, God used them. Now, if you want to be able to raise your children for the glory of God, and you want to be able to raise this next generation for the glory of God, we as adults, we as parents, we've got to be busy serving God, and we've got to show our children the joy of serving Jesus Christ. By the way, if you want to know about the joy of serving Jesus Christ, come to Sunday school on Sunday mornings. We're teaching a series the month of May on the joy of serving Jesus Christ out of Psalms chapter number 100. Now listen, they were already serving God. They were already being faithful to God. And God shows us, by way of example here, that He chooses to use those that are already busy. Many of you, you work at a different workplace, and maybe you have come to find out that your boss tends to find you every time he has work to be done. Or she has work to be done. Like, I've already got this task I'm doing. And then the boss shows up and says, hey, I need to get this done. Can you do this for me? It's like, well, I mean, I'm doing this and this and this, but I'll make it work. Yeah, it'll get done. We'll get it taken care of. Why can your boss do that? Because you've shown yourself faithful in other areas already. He's not going to ask the low man on the totem pole that's not doing anything, that's hiding in the closet and taking a break every 10 minutes. He's not going to call them to get the work done. He's going to call somebody that he can count on, somebody that he can depend on, somebody that's been busy doing the work already. It's the same way in the ministry. It's the same way in the house of God. God is going to call those that have already been busy doing the work of God. I've got several preacher friends of mine over the past several years, and two of them specifically over the past 6 months, that God has called to the mission field, and they've resigned their churches. And there's an open pulpit, and the simple fact is, God is calling to the mission field, but they were already busy doing a work for God. God calls those who are busy. God calls those who have a heart for His ministry. And if we're going to be used by God, we have got to be willing to be faithfully serving already. Listen, young people, if you're not serving God now, you're not going to serve God in the future. It's very, very simple. You can't take and make this decision of, well, when I turn 21, I'll begin to get serious about reading my Bible. When I turn 21, I'll get serious about being faithful to church. When I turn 21, I'll begin to make my own decisions, and I'll get serious about these things as far as concerning God is concerned. No. You got to start serving God now. I remember as a young person, I would begin to try to bargain with God. And as a teenager, I was getting pulled between my friends and between the things there at the church. And I began to try to make these deals and these bargains with God. And I remember as a young person telling God, God, when I get out of high school, then I'll get faithful serving you. God's like, no, we don't make those kind of deals. God began to burden my heart when I would go to church camp. He began to burden my heart when I go to youth conference. He began to burden my heart when I would be faithfully attending church and the revival and different meetings that we had. And I begin to get busy serving there in the church as a young person. And then God called me into the ministry. Why? Because I was busy doing what He wanted me to do already. We can't just wait and hope and pray that eventually we'll get faithful to God. No, we got to be faithful now. if we want to be faithful then. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why is it he can be faithful when he is old and gray-headed and not depart from the things of God? It's because as a child, he was trained in the things of God, and he stayed faithful all the way through his life and didn't turn back on serving God. The verse doesn't say that he left God and then he eventually came back as a prodigal. No, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. He's going to stay faithful to the things of God because he had a solid foundation and a sure foundation. If we're going to prepare for God to use us, number one, we've got to be willing to be faithfully serving God. Number two, if we want God to use us, we've also got to be willing to be fully separated unto God. We've got to be willing to be fully separated unto God. Notice verse number two. Here the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, this is a divine calling from God. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. He gave a specific name to these people who were serving him already. And he told the church, and he told the man of God, the pastor of the church, hey, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. I want them to do a work for me. And Barnabas and Saul were willing to be fully separated. They were willing to go where others wouldn't go. Notice here, the Holy Ghost called, and this is a sidebar, we'll get to the message here in just a moment. The Holy Spirit called Barnabas and Saul. Notice in verse number 5, it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. This is John Mark. This is the same John Mark down in verse number 13. Look, verse number 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and notice what the Bible says, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Why did he return to Jerusalem? It's down in verse number 13. Why did he return to Jerusalem? Because the Holy Spirit never separated him to the work that he called them to. The Holy Spirit of God separated Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul were called by God to go and do the work of missionaries on the mission field. John Mark thought it was a good idea to go, but he was never God called. He was doing a good thing, but he was doing it the wrong way. He was never called and separated by God. He was not willing to fully separate, and because of that, he turned his back on Barnabas and Saul. In order for God to use you, you must be willing to not just be faithfully serving, but also to be fully separated. That means we must be willing to do what others will not do. Verse 2 says, separate me and Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. We live in a day and age, we live in a society today where people don't want to work anymore. We live in a society where that mentality has crept into the churches. And many people, they go to Bible college and they think, well, I'm going to go to Bible college, I'm going to get a preaching degree, and all I got to do is work on Sundays and Wednesdays. And they think they can sit in their office all week long and go golfing all week long and never spend time with God and never do the work in the ministry, and they think that everything's going to work itself out. Listen, the ministry doesn't work that way. Ministry doesn't work that way. We're busy serving the Lord. Because when various ministries don't have somebody to fulfill it, the pastor's got to step in and got to fulfill that. And we've got to do the work. We've got to do whatever the work needs to be done in order for the work to continue on. We've got to be willing to be separated, to do what others will not do. Also, we've got to answer when others will not answer. Notice he says, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. I'm not naive enough to think that in a church that was of this size at this time in Antioch, that was busy, they were missions-minded, they were goal-oriented, they were going out reaching others for the cause of Christ. I'm not naive enough to think that God didn't try to call other people to the ministry. But God called Barnabas and Saul, and they were willing to answer the call of God. Now, I've been to a lot of youth conferences, I've been to a lot of church camps, I've been to a lot of revivals and different preachers' meetings, I've been to a lot of different places, and I've heard a lot of preaching of the Word of God, and I have watched people have the whole white-knuckle syndrome where they hold onto the pew and they hold onto the chair, and they are fighting against the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God, and they're fighting against the calling of God in their lives, and they don't want to surrender their will to God's will. They don't want to answer the call of God when God is so clearly calling them to do a work for Him. And if you're going to be used by God, you've got to be willing to answer when others will not answer. Because there's going to be a lot of people out there that won't answer the call of God. I remember as a young man, I was running from the call to preach all through my teenage years until I got to Bible college. Everybody in my life was telling me, you need to be a preacher. You need to be a preacher. Well, you know what? I didn't want to be man called. And so I struggled and I ran from the call to preach for years until everybody stopped saying that I needed to be a preacher. Then when everybody stopped talking, I started listening to that still small voice. And guess what God was saying? God was saying, hey, I want you to be a preacher. Well, then I could hear the call, and then I answered the call of God. But we got to be willing to answer when others won't answer. But also, we got to be willing to go where others won't go. Look at verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to Cyprus. Sometimes, when you answer the call of God, it's going to require you to leave some people and some places. We heard a testimony just a moment ago from a mother praying for her daughter, going to Bible college, has a desire to go to another state. The mom says, we're going to support her whatever God wants her to do. That's not easy. It's not easy. My wife and I, when we first got married, we prayed for children and we told God, as soon as we got married and even since then, we've told God, whatever you want our children to do, if you want to call them to the mission field, if you want to go halfway around the world, whatever you want them to do, we're going to be willing because they are on loan to us. Right. Ultimately, they're yours. You do with them as you will. Those are not easy tasks. Those are not easy statements. Those are not said nonchalantly. And any parent in here would attest to that. Sometimes you got to send your child away. Sometimes they got to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. They've got to go where others won't go. They got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. But also, sometimes you got to be willing to leave what others won't leave. Some people will never be used by God because they're unwilling to leave their comfort zone. They're unwilling to leave everything that they've known in order to do what God has called them to do. Many times, the unknown. Some people are willing, they're not willing to leave. And therefore, God never uses them. Sometimes, God's will may take you away from family. Sometimes, God's will may take you away from friends. Sometimes, God's will may take you from your comfort zone. Sometimes God's will may take you away from everything that you know. My wife and I, we first got married. We were serving in a church that we had grown up in. First church we went to go work at, Ambassador Baptist Church there in Greenbrier. We worked there for 2 years. That was one of the hardest things for us to do. We went there, we knew two families. The pastor and his wife. And we knew another family in the church that actually used to go to church with us. The Lounsberries. We knew two families. We're in a brand new city. I was away. We were 45 minutes away from my family. We were 3 hours away from her family. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know our neighbors. We were just getting plugged into a ministry. It was difficult. It was hard. But you know what? It was during that time that we learned how to trust God. It was during that time we began to grow up and mature. And sometimes, in order for our young people to grow into what God wants them to be, sometimes they've got to leave the comfort zone so they can learn to spread their wings and fly. It's just like a bird jumping out of a nest or being thrown out of a nest by its mama. They've got to learn how to use the wings God gave them. They've got to learn how to be used by God. Notice verse 4, it says, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. They had to be willing to leave. I'd be willing to do what God said. Beyond the shadow of doubt, say, I know God has called me to this and I've got to go. I've got to do what God wants me to do. We've got to be willing to be faithfully serving. We've got to be willing to be fully separated. Thirdly, we've got to be willing to be filled with the Spirit of God. If we're going to be used by God, we have got to empty ourselves of ourselves. We've got to be willing to be filled with the Spirit of God. Go to verse number 9. The Bible says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Look down at verse number 52, chapter 13, verse number 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Everywhere that Paul and Barnabas went when they were serving God, they were doing the work of God and following the will of God, they made sure that they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Write it down and look it up later in Matthew chapter number 4. Right after Jesus Christ gets baptized at the end of Matthew chapter number 3, the Bible says, "And Jesus being led of the Spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Jesus Christ, everything He did, He was led by the Spirit of God by way of example. Sit up, boy. He was being willing to be filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, most people cannot be used by God because we are so full of ourselves and we're not allowing the Spirit of God to fill us. I heard a message when I was a teenager and the preacher got up. I have no idea what he was preaching on, okay? But he used this illustration and he said, "I want to be a water trough for Jesus." He said, "God, I am the trough, You are the water, so fill me and use me." That's the only thing I remember about the whole message, okay? I got it written down in my Bible. I have no idea what he preached on, but that illustration stuck in my head. As a water trough, God, fill me and use me. What's a water trough used for? It's used to give hydration to multiple different animals. Now, if we're going to be used by God, we've got to be willing to be filled with something other than ourselves. A water trough's not filled with wood. It's made of wood, but it's filled with some kind of liquid. And if we're going to be used by God, we cannot be filled with ourselves. We've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. We've got to allow God to use us. Back in verse number 2, the Holy Spirit was the one who did the calling. Back in verse number 4, the Holy Spirit was the one who did the sending. And in verse number 9, the Holy Spirit was the one who did the work. And so if we're going to be used by God, we've got to allow Him to fill us so that He can use us. Because, as the songwriter said, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. That's a verse in the song, "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship." So it's in your hymn book. Everything that we do in this Christian life, if we do it outside of this filling of the Spirit of God, it's all in vain. It's all for self. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. Why were they filled, or how were they filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, the Bible says in verse 2 that they fasted and prayed. The only way we're going to get filled with the Spirit of God is if we spend time with God. We've got to go to where He is. We've got to get into the Word of God. We've got to spend time in prayer. We've got to allow God to fill us. You see, the work, they worked and they operated in the power of God. And because of that, the Holy Spirit of God gave them the fire that they needed to serve God. The Holy Spirit of God then gave them the focus they needed to do the work of God. The Holy Spirit then gave them the fuel that they needed to serve God when they felt tired and weary and worn. The Holy Spirit of God then gave them the fervency to serve Him. You see, they had a desire to keep pressing on for the cause of Christ and not to quit. And then the Holy Spirit of God gave them the finish that they needed. When they were fulfilled the work, they came back to Antioch. The Holy Spirit of God told them when they were done. Man did not call them back off the mission field. The Holy Spirit did. And if we're going to be willing to be used by God, we have got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Fourthly, if we're going to be used by God, we have got to be willing to fight Satan. You've got to be willing to fight Satan. Listen, you better buckle up and you better strap up because you're in for a fight. The devil's not going to go down without a fight. Anything worth doing is worth fighting for. You've probably heard that phrase before. Go to chapter 13, verse number 8. As soon as they left the church they were called out of and they went to do the work of God, the very first person they run into is a demon-possessed sorcerer. The very first person they run into is Satan in the flesh. I mean, the devil showed up with a vengeance. immediately. Isn't it amazing how when you decide to do something for God, you come to a church service, God convicts your heart, you make a decision down here at an old-fashioned altar, and as soon as you get up from the altar and you leave the church and you walk out the doors, the devil begins to slap you upside the head and cause fights in your family, in your home, amongst your children, amongst you and your spouse. Even the next morning, the devil begins to fight. Be ready. You're in for a fight. If you're going to be used by God, you've got to be willing to fight the devil. Be willing to fight Satan. Verse number 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. It is naive of us to think that everybody's going to be willing to accept what we're giving. The gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't accept it from Jesus. As a matter of fact, they crucified him for it. Here, the enemy of God withstood them. Notice verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. He said, oh, this guy wants a fight. Let's do this. Verse 10. And said, oh, fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. That's a preacher that didn't mince his words and he didn't beat around the bush. He called him what he was. You're a child of the devil. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Paul was ready. He was ready for a fight. He said, we're not going to do this. You're not going to stand against God. You're perverting the right ways of the Lord. Verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. You see, when you are willing to fight Satan, God will give you an opportunity to take a stand for the glory of God. And when you take a stand for the glory of God, listen up, other people are going to get saved because of it. Here we had somebody that had gotten saved in verse number 12 because Paul was willing to take a stand and claim the power of God in his life. Listen, if you are unafraid or you're unprepared to enter into spiritual warfare, your chances of being used by God greatly diminish. If you're not willing to fight for what you believe in and stand for truth and right. You see, because doing anything for God will draw fire from the forces of hell. Go to 2 Corinthians with me. Hold your place here. We're coming back. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Write this down and look it up later. 1 John 2:15. His devices are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's the same three things he's used from the garden. He's going to continue to use them because they work. All right? Same three things. We're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's going to do. Go to 1 Thessalonians now. It's over in the T section of your Bible. 1 Thessalonians. Look at chapter number 2. Here Paul's writing the epistle to the church at Thessalonica. And he's telling them about how he wants to go to where they're at. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18. He says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. The word hindered, if you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, it literally means it's defined as a broken road. Meaning that the devil put a roadblock anytime Paul tried to get back to Thessalonica. Something came up. You ever notice how when you want to, go back to Acts chapter 13, you ever notice how when you want to set time aside to read the Bible, something always comes up? When you want to set time aside to spend some time in prayer, amazingly, the phone always goes off. And somebody randomly calls you with some important thing that needs to be done right then. Well, no, it can wait because time with God is more important. But it never ceases to amaze me when we begin to set out to do something for the glory of God, the devil will always show up. Trials will come. Hard times will come. But we've got to be willing to fight. And when we're willing to take a stand, you're going to be amazed at how many people get saved because of it. The devil can't stop the salvation of God. He can only hinder Brother Nick gave a devotion several weeks ago. In the Christian life, the hindrances or difficulties that we face, we ought to look at them as opportunities. Opportunities to serve God. It may not be necessarily as bad as we think it is. Well, it's too difficult, or this came up. Well, guess what? Maybe you can do multiple things on the way to do the thing that you want to do for the glory of God. Now you have a hindrance, okay? We had a problem with our sewer system. We have a hindrance show up. Well, that means a guy was captive as an audience for a period of time. So what do I do? I began to witness to him, began to invite him to church, began to give him the gospel. He didn't go to church anywhere. Wasn't really interested, but you know what? He was stuck there, so I kind of told him about the Lord. We got a captive audience. It may be God allows some hindrances. God, remember, no matter what you're facing in life, God is ultimately the one who's in control. We give the devil a whole lot of credit, but understand God has Satan on a leash. Okay? I'll repeat that. Write it down. Remember it. God has Satan on a leash. Meaning, you go to Job, Satan had to get permission from God to tempt Job. Meaning, everything that Satan does in our lives to tempt us, he has to get permission for. Seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says. May connotates permission. Meaning, God allows things to happen. We got to be willing to fight Satan. Number five, we got to be willing to face suffering. Look at chapter 13, verse number 45. Verse 45 says, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." You ever try to take a stand for God and hindrances come and people begin to call you a hypocrite? People begin to call you a liar? People begin to speak things contrary to what you're saying? Yeah, it happens. Look at verse number 50. "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women." Who'd they go after? The women. Why? Because oftentimes women are the ones that are going to spread some things. Notice here, "and the chief men of the city." So here they had some chief men that were also going to run their mouths. And what they do? They raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But what'd they do in verse 51? They shook off the dust. I'm working on a message right now entitled, "Just Shake It Off." Just shake it off. We're going to preach it soon. But we've got to be willing to face suffering. In chapter 14, in verse number 2, in verse number 4 and 5, in verse 19, in verse number 22, we see more suffering. Understand, God cannot use a person that's not willing to endure some suffering. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 1 Timothy 3:12. The Word of God is what we need to be interested in following. And the Bible tells us, and even in Luke 14, that we cannot be a disciple if we're not willing to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. And sometimes taking up a cross means there's going to be a lot of work. There's going to be some suffering involved. We got to be willing to face some suffering. Number 6, we've got to be willing to fathom Scripture. We've got to be willing to fathom Scripture. The word fathom means to understand, to comprehend, to draw our focus and attention to. We've got to be willing to fathom Scripture. Go to chapter 13, verse number 5. Here the Bible says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." Here they preached the Bible. Verse number 7. "Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the Word of God." People didn't care about their opinions. They weren't interested in sharing their opinions. They were preaching the Bible. By the way, in order to preach the Word of God, in order to share the Word of God, we've got to know the Word of God. Verse 15. "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." That sounds like an invitation to preach the gospel right there. They read the law, they read the prophets, they said, "Hey, if you got anything to add to it, go ahead, you have the floor." I think Paul would have said, "I don't mind if I do, amen." He got busy. What did he do? He stood up and he beckoned. He told them exactly what God said and what God intended. If you go to verse number 44, same chapter, chapter 13, verse 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together. Why? To hear the word of God. Look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken unto you. Here, we were trying to give you the word of God. Look at verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Here, they're preaching the word of God everywhere they're going. But the only way they can preach the Bible is they've got to know the Bible. We've got to be willing to fathom the scriptures. Listen, young people that are in our Christian school, don't get mad and don't get upset that at every patient when you test out of, you've got to quote a memory verse. Don't get mad and upset that we have a Bible passage that you can memorize every month because we're trying to pump scripture into your mind. We're trying to pump scripture into heart. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. The Bible says in verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We've got to get the word of God into our lives. You see, their entire life was centered on the word of God. The word of God is our only source. It's our only authority. It's our only weapon. We must know our Bibles. As a young person, my youth director used to always rant and rave about how we needed to know the scriptures. Brother Jotar, always. And he said, what's sad is some of you guys playing basketball, you can tell me the starting lineup of your favorite basketball team, but you can't tell me the 12 disciples. Well, you know what? I was one of those dummies that knew the starting five of my favorite ball team, but I didn't know the 12 disciples. So you know what I did? Because I love sports so much, and because I didn't want to be that guy again in his illustration, I went and memorized the 12 disciples. And said, ha! I know the starting five, and I know the starting 12. Praise God. I know them both. So he used that illustration. I was like, I got that one. I know those. And then he says, what's sad is you know all the teams in the NFL, but you don't know all the books of the Bible. I was like, oh, he's got me there. I didn't know all the books of the Bible. So you know what I did? I memorized all the books of the Bible. Why? Because I wanted to know this. I got tired of being used as an illustration. But you know what? That caused me, it challenged me to memorize the Bible. It challenged me to make the Word of God an integral part of my life. You know what he was doing? He was teaching and training. He was trying to pour a little bit of Jesus into our lives. We've got to be willing to fathom the Scriptures, to understand the Scriptures. We need a good understanding of Scripture if we want to be used by God. Go with me to Hebrews 5. Man, let me help you with this. This is something that I'm beginning to get burdened by in churches. We have a dearth of good, solid workers in the church. We have a famine. A dearth is a famine. We have a need of workers. The Bible says that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Brother Thoreau used to always say, if you give me 10 good men, we'll turn the city upside down for Christ. D.L. Moody used to say the same thing. You know why? Because it's true. 10 men that are wholly given and wholly dedicated to the Word of God and wholly dedicated to God and going to commit to raise their families for the glory of God, going to commit to get into the Word of God and teach and train their children the Word of God, going to stick to the Word of God and be faithful to every service, it'll change our community, I guarantee you that. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse number 12. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote this book as well, writing to the Hebrews. Notice the burden that he has. I'm beginning to see this more and more. Notice verse 12. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Let me read that again. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There are some of us who refuse to grow up spiritually. Listen to me. There are some of us who refuse to grow up spiritually. And we want to suck on the milk bottle rather than chew on the meat that God's given us from the Word of God. Notice verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That'd be those who are mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Remember the Bible tells us to, in Philippians, we covered it the other night, to work out our own salvation. Right? To exercise. As a child of God, we need to exercise our faith. And as we show maturity in Christ, we need to exercise ourselves in the Word of God. I'm going to go ahead and make this statement, all right? Get mad if you want to. If you've been saved for 10 or 15 years, there's no need at all for you to be able to continually sit in a Sunday school class. We need more and more teachers of Sunday school classes. You see, when we show some maturity in this Christian life, it's not that we have arrived spiritually speaking, it is that we need to expand our opportunities to be able to be used by God. I had somebody come up to me just a week or two ago. Right after, I believe it was Sunday night church, was preaching a message. I don't even remember what I preached on. I have no idea. I don't know. I didn't take notes. Somebody else will remember what I preached on. I don't know. I preached a couple weeks ago. Somebody came to me after the church service and said, I have a desire to be used by God. I want you to pray with me. I said, okay, we'll pray. We'll pray about what God would have us to do. We'll pray about discernment. We'll pray about leadership. We'll pray about direction. Because there's opportunities. There's ministries. And we as a child of God, there's got to come a time in our life where we begin to grow spiritually and we begin to mature ourselves spiritually so that we can be able to teach and invest in the next generation for the glory of God and not have somebody continually teach us. You see, there's a need. Yeah, I want to split some Sunday school classes here in our church. He said, well, where are we going to put them all? You let me worry about all that. Well, we need some people that are ready and willing to be able to serve in different positions. We need some people who show some maturity in their Christian life that are able to take in some strong meat. Listen, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But the simple fact of the matter is there comes a time where we've got to get to a point in our Christian life where we get off of the bottle and we begin to take that strong meat so that we can turn around and take what's been poured into us for so long and pour that into somebody else for the glory of God. We've got to be willing to learn the Bible. We've got to comprehend. We've got to understand the Scriptures. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and they said, "I don't learn that quickly. I don't learn that fast. I'm a slow learner." I said, "It's fine. Take the time you need to take. Learn the Word of God, but don't stop learning Scripture. Don't stop learning. Just because somebody's serving here in the ministry as a Sunday school teacher doesn't mean they've stopped learning. No, if now more than ever they're learning more than they've ever learned before." Because it takes a lot of work to teach. It takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of dedication. We've got to be willing to fathom the Scriptures. And then lastly, we've got to be willing to fortify the saints. We've got to be willing to fortify the saints. Go with me again to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I told you if we're going to be used by God, we've got to be willing to be faithfully serving God. I told you if we're going to be used by God, we've got to be willing to be fully separated unto God. I told you if we're going to be used by God, we've got to be willing to be filled with the Spirit of God. I told you if we're going to be used by God, we've got to be willing to fight Satan. I told you if we're going to be used by God, we've got to be willing to face suffering. I told you if we're going to be used by God, we've got to be willing to fathom or understand and comprehend the Scriptures. Lastly, if we're going to be used by God, we've got to be willing to fortify the saints. We've got to be willing to fortify the saints. Acts 13, look at verse number 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Here there were some folks that had gotten saved. They were proselytes. That means they left the church they were in. They had gotten saved by the glory of God, and they came to the new church that Paul and Barnabas had started. And they told Paul and Barnabas, continue in the grace of God. Go continue to tell everybody what you told us, because there's others out there that are steeped in the false religion that we've been steeped in for so long. There are others out there that need the gospel message, and continue doing what God called you to do. Chapter 14, look at verse number 21. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Notice what they did. There's a four-point outline here in verses 22 and 23. It says, they confirming the souls of the disciples, they confirmed them and exhorting them to continue in the faith. So they confirmed the souls, they continued the souls in the faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, if you want to be used by God, you've got to continue in the faith. And then verse 23 says, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, then they consecrated them to the ministry. They consecrated them. And had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. Then they commended them, meaning they dedicated or recommended them to God. Say, God, listen, hey, there's somebody over here at this church that they have a desire to be used by you, God. God, use them greatly. God, use them mightily. They recommended them to God, on whom they believed. We're to go about confirming souls, continuing souls, consecrating souls, and commending souls. We've got to be willing to fortify the saints. You see, one of the greatest requirements for being used by God is to be able to be trusted to help other believers grow. The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Who what? Who shall be able to teach others also. That's the whole purpose. It is a revolving cycle in the ministry. Somebody taught Brother Thoreau. Brother Thoreau taught me. I'm teaching you. You're to take that and to teach someone else. Who then, though, someone else is to take that and to teach someone else. And they're to take it and they're to teach someone else. And they're to take it and they're to teach someone else. It's called the perpetuity of the gospel. It's going to go throughout all of time simply because somebody took what they were given and they committed it to someone else. That's fortifying the saints. Taking the doctrines that we've been given and giving it to the next generation. We must be willing to build up and to strengthen the faith of others. Listen, there are some of you right now here serving in the church. It is time for you to take all that God has given you and to be able to turn around and invest that into someone else. We've got to be willing to press on for the cause of Christ. We've got to be willing to do more for the glory of God. Listen, our church is growing. We're seeing God do great things. We're seeing growth. I was looking at some of the numbers and some of the growth patterns that God has been doing. So far, just this month, we're averaging right now 71 people coming to church on Sunday mornings. No, we're averaging 75. I'm sorry, we had 81 last weekend. We had 70 this week. God is blessing and we're seeing growth. In January, we're averaging 54. You say, what does that mean? That means that we're expanding. That means we're growing. You know what that means? That means we need to get ahead of the curve and get ready to start splitting some Sunday school classes so that we can continue to grow the ministry of God. We don't wait till we're busting at the seams to grow. We cut it before and give that room and that opportunity. And if that means we got to plug people up in where the Christian school is at and use those rooms all over again, praise the Lord. We'll do it. We'll spread it out. We'll break down. We'll set up every day. I don't have a problem with that at all. For the glory of God. Amen. We've got to grow. Amen. We've got to grow. But we've got to have people who are willing to invest in other people. And as a child of God, we've been given the truths. Don't be a Dead Sea Christian. Don't just take in and take in and take in. We've got to be able to cut some outlets and be able to give out. God, you're the water. God, I'm the trough. Fill me and use me. That'll be our prayer. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to be used by God. I want our church to be full of people who have a desire and a passion to be used by God. Listen, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I know everything God's going to do. I don't. But we're going to step out by faith and trust that God's going to continue to do what He's already been doing. And as we step out, and as we're praying for more workers, and as we're looking to expand and grow, we've got to have faithful people that are willing to teach others also. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truths of the Word of God. Help us. God, I want more than anything else to be used by You. But God, I want our church families to have that passion and desire as well. Lord, I want every one of them to have a desire to be used by You, to be able to allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide us and direct us in every decision that we make on the work site, uptown when we're in Walmart, when we're at a grocery store, we're out at a restaurant, whatever the case may be, we're willing, we've got tracks in our pockets. God, we want to be a conduit to be used by You. God, please use our church. Guide and direct our church. Give wisdom. We've got several, Lord, that are prime and ready to take some other steps in the Christian life. I pray You create some opportunities for that to happen. Use and guide us. We'll praise You. We'll thank You for it. We love You, Lord. We ask these things in Your name and pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, You come. Do you have a desire tonight to be used by God? Do you have a desire? Do you want God to use you? I'll tell you right now, men, we need more men to wear suits to church so they can be ushers. It's a need. Because sometimes, Brother Thoreau won't be here. He's going to be out preaching somewhere. Sometimes, Brother Hendricks won't be here. He's going to be in California. We need other men to step up and be available to be ushers, to fill a need, to fill a position for the glory of God. I'm praying about flipping around some Sunday school classes.